But I believe that this is the inspired word of God, and therefore it's not just the fanciful ideas of a poet, because this is a poetic psalm.
Yes.
Not quite in the same way as we look at poetry. But that's inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And there's a reason for the inspiration to be written in this way. So I'm going to read the first 8 verses, the first stanza, the first paragraph. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly.
Glory.
Oh, Lord, bless the reading of his word to us tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Lord, bless us, we pray. In your word tonight, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This is a psalm that's all about the word of God.
Yes.
And the place it should have in our lives. And the various forms that the word of God takes.
Yes.
The blessings and the benefits that knowing God's word, applying it to our lives, listening to what the Lord has to say, the benefits it will bring to our lives, and the leading and the guidance that it gives.
Yes.
In this psalm, God's word is referred to in many ways. It's the law.
Yes.
The Torah.
Yes.
Carries with the idea of instruction. Of course, it applies the Torah to the first 5 books of the Bible. And it's the word. It's the sayings of God. It's his commandments. His statutes.
Yes.
His judgments.
Yes.
His precepts. His testimonies. His way. His path. It's the word of God.
Amen.
And it's all here for our benefit. There's 176 verses in this psalm. Because there are 8 verses in each paragraph. It's divided up into paragraphs, into stanzas, if you want to keep the poetic idea. 8 verses. And there are 22 of these paragraphs of 8 verses each. That's 176. There are 22 paragraphs because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters. Each stanza, each paragraph of 8 verses is related to one of those letters of the alphabet. Each verse in that first stanza that we read, each verse begins with a word which begins with the letter Aleph.
Yes.
Which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
Yes.
And we go right the way through to the 22nd stanza, or paragraph, and each verse there begins with a word which begins with the letter Tau, or Tav, if you want the modern version.
Yes.
That's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. From Aleph to Tav, or Tau. It's God's A to Z, if you like, of life lived according to his word. The blessings, the warnings, the directions, which way to go, which ways to avoid. These are all the thoughts that we find in Psalm 119. Tonight we've looked at the first 8 verses. And I thought, as I looked at this before, that it'd be interesting and instructive if we took our guidance and our cue from the first word of each verse. Now, the first word of each verse in Hebrew is not necessarily the first word of our English version.
That's right.
So it might give us an understanding. There must be a reason why the Holy Spirit wanted to begin each letter, each verse, with a particular letter.
Mm-hmm.
Not just some poet thinking, oh, this will look pretty. God's taking us through. Praise the Lord.
Yes, good stuff.
And we want to know his word. It's wonderful to see how it starts as well. The very psalm itself starts with 2 verses which begin with the same word.
Yeah.
In English, it's been translated as, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
Yes.
It's the Hebrew word ashrei, which really means, how happy.
Yes.
How happy. How happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. How happy are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. It's good to know that God, as he brings us this word, he wants us to know, first of all, how we can know that true happiness and how happy
Amen.
They are. Do you know when Jesus gave those Beatitudes,
Yes.
In the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the Greek word makarioi. It's a plural word, makarioi. It really means happy.
Yes.
Happy are the poor in spirit. And as you read through the Beatitudes, yes, it's happy, happy, happy. We've got a funny idea about what blessed means.
Yes.
But actually the Greek word means happy.
Happy, yes.
The Lord wants us to be happy.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
And in that there is blessing.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. In that there is blessing.
Amen.
And this begins with two verses. Right at the beginning of the whole psalm, God wants us to know that this is not going to be a dirge. God wants us to be happy.
Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And where are we going to be happy? If we are undefiled in our walk with the Lord, in the way, and as we walk in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
We're going to be happy if we keep his testimonies.
Yes.
His testimonies are his revelation.
Yes.
Of his thoughts according to his word. How he works, what he does. How happy are those that seek him with the whole heart. You know, the undefiled in the way. The undefiled in the way. They walk in the law of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we walk in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, we find a parallel in Ephesians chapter 5, where it speaks there, we've referred to it so many times, where it speaks there about the Lord cleansing his church,
yes,
his bride to be,
yes,
the church.
Yes.
How? By the washing of water by the word.
Amen.
There's a washing of water by the word. There, it makes us undefiled in the way, undefiled in our walk with the Lord.
Yes.
We might be walking along that way that's filled with the dust of this world,
yes,
and the contamination of this world, but there's a washing, there's a cleansing all the time.
Thank you,
it's in his word. Undefiled. There's a happiness there. There's a joy there. They walk in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 9. We're not looking at Beth tonight, but look at verse 9, and it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. There it is, the washing, the cleansing by the word. It's a blessing that comes to us as we keep those things that God has revealed. Those that seek the Lord with their whole heart. In Jeremiah 29, we'll just turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, God's promises to his people of old. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. He's talking to his people. And he's saying what will happen after they've done their term of 70 years in Babylon. He says, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know what you're going to get with the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, says the Lord. Blessed are those that seek him with the whole heart, it says in verse 2 of our psalm. Oh, there's a blessing, there's a happiness there. Conveys to us here wonderful truths. And then we don't stop there. These first three verses are bringing to us a revelation of true happiness. Happy are they? How happy are they? How happy are they? And then verse 3, the first word in Hebrew is that word also. They isn't the first word in Hebrew. Also. There's an also here. In fact, it can be translated much more.
Yes.
So, we've got happiness in verse 1. We've got happiness in verse 2. And it carries on in verse 3. And more.
Yes. More abundant.
You can't exhaust what God has for us. And also, they do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Isn't it wonderful that when we get these blessings of God's word, it brings us into a place where there is no iniquity in our lives and we walk in his ways.
Yes.
It's not a struggle.
Yes.
It's not a battle in that sense. There is a battle going on. Don't misunderstand
yes.
me.
Yes.
But there is something which is just a blessing
yes.
that we can walk in by faith and know God's blessing in our lives. Isn't that wonderful?
Glory.
They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. That's what God has for us. A life of no iniquity. A life of holiness and cleanliness.
Yes.
Walking in his ways. We can live that life that God has for us in his power, because it's God who enables the saint in verse 3. It's God who enables us here in the present now. It's God who enables us to live those lives of no iniquity and walking in his ways. Right. We can't do it ourselves. We could never have done it by ourselves.
Yes.
But as we've given him control of our lives, he enables us to live in that blessing. And then we get to a bit of a wobble in verses 4 and 5. It's one of those questions that might come up in our minds and in our hearts. Can we keep such high standards? And God's saying here in verse 4, and that word thou, in Hebrew atta, you.
Yeah.
It's a personal relationship with the Lord here. It's the Lord that's being indicated. It's not named. It's the relationship.
You.
It's the saint speaking to the Lord. Thou, Lord, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. That word precepts often refers to commandments and the word of God which tell us the things that we should not be doing.
Yes.
And you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently.
Yes.
And you know, we might well say, Lord, I can't do it. No, we can't, not in our strength.
No.
So there's a bit of a wobble. We can't do it, but God wants us to know that. God wants us to realise that we can't live this life in our own strength.
Yes.
You, Lord. Here's the emphasis in verse 4. Here's the first word, you. You're the one, Lord. You're the one that has given us these commandments. And if you've given us these commandments, Lord, surely there must be some help here. And so we're coming to verse 5, which says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. It's a word, it's the first word in Hebrew.
Directed.
It's a prayer saying, would that.
Yes.
Would that. That might sound a bit old-fashioned still, but would that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. It's a desire of the heart of the believer. Lord, I can't do it by myself.
Yes.
You've commanded to keep your precepts diligently.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfectly. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'll always get a slip and fall. Oh, would that my ways were directed by yourself, Lord.
Yeah, would you do it?
You do it, Lord, in me.
Yeah.
To keep your statutes.
Yeah.
There's a realisation that living this life of this true blessing and happiness of the Lord, we can't do it in our own strength.
That's right.
Saved as we might be, cleansed as we might be, born again of his spirit as we might be, we need his enabling power. And you know, in New Testament terms, he has given us that ability. He has poured out his Holy Spirit upon us that we might live that life with power, his power. You shall receive power, says the Lord, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Yes.
And you shall be witnesses unto me.
Yes.
All glory.
Amen.
God enables us to do those things that he's told us to look out for diligently.
Thank you, Lord.
So it brings us to the last three verses. And there is that word. And again, the word then is the Hebrew word. Then. Hallelujah. Why then? Ah, because then. Because God
enables
us, we can know the truth of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, where it says, for it is God that works in you, both to will, to want to do, and to do his good pleasure.
Yes.
Philippians. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Got those verses? Philippians 2:13.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 2:13.
Yeah.
When you receive the word of God, says Paul, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe.
Amen.
It's God working in us. It's his word working in us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it's working in us effectually.
Yes.
It gets results.
Yes.
The right results. Every time. The last, towards the end of Psalm 119, the psalmist cries out in verse 133, that's way down the line, order my steps in your word.
Glory.
Oh, let's get our gaze fixed upon him. And so we come to verse 6, which is, if in my little dividing of it up, is the third section. The first section is the happiness available to us in the word of God. The second is, if we've got a bit of a wobble about it and we can't really see how we can do it, well, don't fear, don't panic. God will enable us.
Yes.
And when God enables us, then... Here's the consequence, and three verses. Then shall I not be ashamed. when I have respect unto all your commandments. Then I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. Then I will keep your statutes.
Yes.
Oh, forsake me not utterly. Praise the Lord. This verse, verse 6, that first word there, then, is the Hebrew word adz. Then, at that time,
yes.
When God is in control, at that time, there's no other way.
Yeah.
At that time, I shall not be ashamed. I shall not be disappointed. God will not let us down. That's the idea of I shall not be ashamed.
Yes.
You know, when we make our boast in the Lord, he's not going to let us down so that we're embarrassed and ashamed because we said he was going to do this and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
He will not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. We will not be ashamed. We will not be disappointed. We will not be let down. When I have respect unto all your commandments. It's always here, in the place of how happy. How happy are those that walk in his word and that walk in his way. Then shall I not be ashamed. You know, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, those who put their faith and trust in him gives us the promise in the word of God, they shall not be ashamed. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9 verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offence, and whosoever believes on him
Amen.
Shall not be ashamed. Chapter 10, verse 11. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him
yes.
shall not be ashamed. That comes from Joel. We've got it in the New Testament, you see, as well. What God does, we can be confident in.
Yes.
We will never be let down. He will always prosper us. He will always bring us along that pathway according to his word, and he will be glorified, and we will be happy and blessed. What a wonderful Saviour. What a wonderful Lord. And then verse 7, the first word of that sentence is, I will praise you.
Yes.
That's an interesting word. You know, we want people to praise God in this place.
That's right.
And if we're walking according to his word, this is one of the consequences. When he is working in our lives, then we shall not be ashamed. When we have respect unto his commandments and live by those commandments, he won't let us down. And I will praise you. That's what's going to happen. We're going to praise him.
Yes.
And you know, this is a mark of the people of God.
Yes.
They're going to praise him. Not mutter a few words. Not mumble. But real praise.
Good.
I'll tell you how real this praise is. Because the Hebrew word, which is, I will praise you, the future says, I will praise you, it comes from the Hebrew word, the root word that it gives rise to this word, I will praise you, it comes from the Hebrew word, yada. And yada means a movement of the hands.
Yes.
Yada comes from the Hebrew word yad.
Yeah.
And yad is a hand.
Yeah.
If you ever go to the synagogue and watch them reading the scrolls, they have a silver pointer.
Yeah.
And at the end of the silver pointer is a hand with a finger pointing. They use that to follow the text when they're reading from the scroll. To touch the scroll would contaminate it, and they respect it, and they're all handwritten by scribes. They're all handwritten on parchment, and they use this pointer to follow the text along. It's a hand.
Yes.
And this thing, I will praise you, it's not just, praise you, Lord. It's not even, praise you, Lord, it's, praise the Lord, the hands are moving.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The whole body is involved in that praise.
Yeah.
People are getting excited.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's where the word originates from
yes.
in the Hebrew language. And it's the first thing that comes in this sentence. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. It's praise by extending the hands as well as the voice.
Yeah.
It's good sometimes, isn't it, when you feel the Spirit of the Lord moving upon you, and you, for some unknown reason, your hands come up and
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
He's given him the glory.
Glory.
And then that last verse, the first word in the sentence in Hebrew is statutes. That's what's important, you see. That's what's important to God, that's what's important to the psalmist in this whole paragraph here. Statutes. It comes first, it's emphasising
statutes.
The statutes
yeah.
of God. It's the word of God, but it's the word of God in written form. This is what has been recorded. This is what's been given to the people of
yeah.
God. His statutes. It was given to Moses in the time of their departure from Egypt.
Yeah.
It was given into his hands, the written statutes of God. There was no excuse. They could know them all. He says, Your statutes, the statutes that are yours, I will keep. That's what's going to come first. It comes first in the sentence. That's what's going to come first in my life.
Yeah.
Your statutes, I will keep them. Focus on that object, because the word statutes does not begin with the letter Aleph. You say, well, why is that first in the sentence? Because it's hyphenated to a little prefix, if. That little prefix, if, doesn't mean anything at all in terms of a meaning to the word. You find it all through the Hebrew Bible. Find it in the book of Genesis. Bereshith bara Elohim, eth ha-shamayim, ve-eth ha-aretz.
Yes.
In the beginning, God created
yes.
the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
The little prefix eth begins with aleph, and it ends in tav, the yes. first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a little prefix which indicates that the word that follows, that's hyphenated to, is the object of the verb of the sentence.
Yes.
Where word order in Hebrew is not quite the same as it is in English, there's a guide that's given. This is what the doing word, the verb, is governing. And here, it's eth, the statutes of God. This is the real object of God's requirement for us, that we keep His statutes, these statutes. We're directed by that little prefix, eth, beginning with the letter aleph, right at the beginning of the sentence. This is what God wants.
Yes.
This is the object of what you've got to keep. And so is the Lord is focusing our attention on His statutes. We can miss it in the English version because it's way down the sentence.
Yes.
But God stuck it at the beginning of the sentence. That's what we need to focus on. That's the object of what we've got to do. And so he cries out to the Lord, oh, forsake me not utterly. Would God forsake us? No. No. There are times when we depart from his way that we might feel that we've gone out of the presence of the Lord. We can't feel or know his presence because we've wandered away from the pathway that he's given for us to walk. But the psalmist could say, Lord, don't forsake me utterly. He won't. He won't. He's always there
yes.
to guide us, to keep his statutes. This little group of verses, this little paragraph of 8 verses, it brings to us overall, from beginning to end, from verse 1 to verse 8, this feeling that we should know as believers who want to follow and honour the word of God and live by his word every moment, every day, oh, how happy that believer is going to be. You might not have all the things that the world has got, but you've got the happiness of being the Lord's, filled with his strength, filled with his power, filled with his guidance. You've got his word.
Yeah.
Everything you need is in his word. Everything you need is in his word. You need look no further.
Amen.
Whatever difficulties, whatever problems, whatever you need, his word covers it all. That's just the beginning of Psalm 119. And the next set of verses is the letter Beth, our letter B. Beth, a word which means house. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.